Today, I'm really pleased to be joined by NG. NG is the chairman and CEO of Canon Inc., and Canon is the developer of the first Bitcoin ASIC mining machine. And today, we're going to be talking about the growth of the Bitcoin mining industry over time, Canon's path to creating the first Bitcoin mining machine, and also where NG sees the industry going in the long term, whether that's from Bitcoin mining's energy use profile, but also bigger questions around artificial intelligence and chip design more generally. So first of all, NG, thank you for joining us today in your first interview with a North American media outlet. This is, an exciting day for us. And I'd love to get a sense to start of Canon's origin. What led to the development of the first ASIC machine for you guys? And how important was that innovation to the growth and specialization of Bitcoin mining?
Yes, thank you for having me today. The start of Canon was actually a project known as the Avalon Project. It's also our brand name today. By 2012, Bitcoin has begun to gain some attention to not only the very small group of geek. It's some kind of also go out to the public, and by the its price is rising notably. So at that time, I think it's back to 2010, so 11, early 11, yeah, early 11, I think maybe. And I realized it's despite a decentralized nature, and by that time, I think the blockchain network is a little bit weak, and power is by a mix of CPUs, GPUs, and some FPGAs. For a large corporation or government, launching like 51% attack to disrupt this network is quite easy at that time. I think if the coin is not well known, nobody knows it, and some kind is I think it's quite safe. But later 2012, some big companies and governments start to realize that exist of this the blockchain network. Mm-hmm. So I believe the best way to defend against such a threat was to rapidly develop and distribute ASIC-based specific computing device to users worldwide. We start the I think the purpose is to strengthen the decentralized network, because at that time I think there's about maybe 5% of the chance to change the world or something by the Bitcoin, the blockchain technology behind it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we our crowdfunding effort started September the 17th, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And finished the crowdfunding in maybe 15 minutes. The first round is about $1 million, around that number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, and our first system running, we delivered it to a core Bitcoin developer, Jeff Garzik, at January 31st, 2013, only about 4.5 months later. Yeah, so this is the start of what would later become Canon. This is a history.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And I think maybe even to take another step back is, how did you even begin getting involved with Bitcoin? How did you identify the need for specialized computing hardware?
My fellow Bitcoiners, it's time to upgrade the security of your stack. Bitcoin Magazine has partnered with Unchained, the leader in collaborative custody services, to help you secure your Bitcoin with confidence. Unchained's collaborative custody services give you complete ownership over your Bitcoin while delegating one key to Unchained to protect you from the theft and loss due to simple mistakes. Using Bitcoin native multisig, Unchained's client services can help you increase the security of your Bitcoin and gain access to the next generation of financial services. Whether you want to bypass exchanges and stack sats directly into cold storage with Unchained Vault, or hold physical Bitcoin in your tax-advantaged IRA, Unchained makes it simple and safe to use the best practices available to store your generational wealth. All new Unchained Vault customers receive a free one-year subscription to Bitcoin Magazine Print, and you can save $100 on Unchained IRA when you enter code BTCMAG at checkout. Unchained's leading custody service are showing the world a better way to Bitcoin. Secure your Bitcoin with confidence at unchained.bitcoinmagazine.com.
Yeah, I think the very beginning I sell self-made goods on the internet, and you can use like the wire transfer for customers. You can use PayPal, such kind of platform for business, but the cost is really very, very high. I think at that time, like PayPal will charge you about more than 15%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for your revenue. It's not the profit, it's about your revenue. So when I started to use Bitcoin, it can be done in seconds. We sell, you can sell all around the world and use like DHL or EMS to send the boards, the product to your customers. It's really, really good and efficient. And also you have to handle it very, very carefully because your customer give money to you first. And, you know, if something goes wrong, you will have some negative posts on the forum. Mm-hmm. So you must handle it very, very carefully.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, very interesting. So I think this is the future at that time because, you know, if we do business, the first thing, sure, is you must earn money by your business. Mm-hmm. You cannot lose money by your business. It's another associations. Then your business activities should provide some better user experience, or it can enhance the efficiency of the society. If you can achieve these two goals, it's the best way. But if you can choose achieve one, it's also okay. I think blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies can it's really a new. Creative innovation. I mean, it's a real innovation for the entire modern financial systems.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really hard for individuals today to get involved in this kind of stuff because it's 100% handled, operated by nations, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like you saw an efficiency that could be gained from, you know, facilitating transactions for your business, but then you also see this interest in, upgrading the financial system using this decentralized ledger.
Yeah.
How big of a change do you think Bitcoin could be if it's used as the basis for a financial system? Like,
At the first day, I think it's about 1% to change the world. Yeah, and by the end of 2012, I think the opportunity rise up to about 5%. And after the first generation of the ASIC miners, I think it's maybe 15%. And everyone knows what happens next, right?
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I measure this by the opportunities. Yeah, and I think today, crypto and the blockchain technology already change the world, and it's pretty prepared for, you know, I think Web3 is the concept that comes out in 2017, so around that the year. Web3 is good, but it needs some key milestones before Web3 really comes true. I think blockchain technology and crypto is cryptocurrency is one of these. I think another maybe the AGI or something,
mm-hmm.
and many others. Yeah, so Web3 today is under development. It's not not take over Web2 yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood. And I think to take this back to, you know, what Bitcoin represents and at its core, it is an open source software. And Canon has open sourced the software for managing its machines. Can you speak a little bit about that decision to be involved in open source as a company?
I think it's not a decision because at that time, open source is a requirement for anyone who wants to get involved on the blockchain community. I think 100% of the developer in the Bitcoin community that day, they have a face on the open source,
mm-hmm.
so you cannot do anything close to source. And also, this is the decision. I think is not only the software, also the machines designs, the hardware.
Mm.
I think at the very beginning. Mostly it's open source because at that time the most important thing is to how to decentralize the computing power to all over the world to against the 51% attack. So we sell machines, we sell chips, and everyone can use our chips or technology to make their own machines or even chips. So you can see there's a lot of newcomers in 2013, 2014.
Yeah,
this is very, very good for the beginning of the industry, I think.
Yeah, and you mentioned in the beginning again this drive towards efficiency, and I think that the open source movement also creates these efficiencies by plugging in developers from all over the world to drive the technology forward. As it has, you know, over the last 15 years with the growth of Bitcoin. And now I want to take a step forward and talk a little bit more about recent history. So Canon IPO'd on the NASDAQ in 2019, and market interest for Bitcoin has come a long way, both interest in mining, but also, of course, the price of Bitcoin. Can you speak to a little bit more how that change has been for the industry, but Canon as a company? You know, what is the landscape like for investment, but also development in Bitcoin mining technology?
Mm. I think first is about the IPO. When we went public with our IPO in 2019, the Bitcoin mining sector wasn't really on the radar of many in the capital markets. But by the Bitcoin boom of 2021, players like Marathon, Royd, Hive, had become darlings of investment world due to their explosive growth stories. Okay, today over a dozen of public firms in this sector have carved out their own stories for the investors. And also, you know, the influx of capital and attentions of seasoned equity research analysts,
mm-hmm.
many have really started to change how this industry is reviewed. This is what happened today. Going back to our initial financing in 2016, Canon was really eyeing a public listing from that day. And we chose NASDAQ for its strong track record with tech innovations. Our goal from the first day was not just about raising some funds. It was also about shining a spotlight on the industry. So back then, even though the tech behind decentralized networks was solid and the market for mining machines was also booming. The broader public was largely in the dark about what we are doing. So for us, hitting the public market was as much about education as it was about expansion. So I think the journey to Nasdaq wasn't without its bumps, but we made it. Yeah, it's I think to go public is it's maybe the best way for education the public.
Yeah, no, I think I've heard it said that money talks, and I think that could also be a key point in Bitcoin education is just the growth of these markets. I think that's what a lot of people pay attention to.
But it's much harder than I my initial thought. Yeah, it's much, much harder. Yeah.
And I guess on that topic, you know, Bitcoin mining just, or Bitcoin in general, experienced its fourth halving just recently, and the block reward has been cut in half, making miners' jobs even harder. And I want to get your perspective on how you see the increase in efficiency for ASIC machines going forward. How important was this halving? And you know, what is the impact from your perspective on this drive towards efficiency with this fourth halving that we just had?
I think I will talk a little bit more about halving. I think the halving is it's a very, you know, important event in the Bitcoin ecosystem. It not only shifted the industry's reward structure from fixed block rewards to a more variable fee-based system, but also drives the mining industry to phase out inefficient equipment and costly energy sources. Yeah, so I think the halving is every 4 years is a very, you know, this I call this very beautiful design in the whole system. I think the economic design behind the system is quite intelligent. Yeah, so to address your question about the midterm outlook, we see continued performance improvements in mining hardware over the next, we can see it will over the next 3 or 5 years. Last year, we pushed our new mining machines to achieve the 20 to 25 joules per terahash. Mm-hmm. And this year, we aim to further push the performance range to 15 to 20 joules per terahash. And, you know, we will announce our new Avalon A15 series in Hong Kong a few hours later. Mm-hmm. Which every generation will have about 20% of improvements in both performance and energy efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I think the 10 to 15 joules range will be the new frontier for computation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I think the market itself is quite competitive. During my talks in New York, I have seen mixed reactions. Some welcome the pace, and the other find it maybe over harming.
Yeah.
So, but regardless, this is our industry's reality. So, like other semiconductor industries, although the performance, I think today, although the performance continues to improve, as just mentioned, but the cost reduction curve has flattened significantly. Yeah, I think the past when we boost our performance, also the cost per terahash is going down significantly. Mm-hmm. But today, this curve is flattened.
Got it. Yeah. So you're seeing.
Yeah. So that means that indicates that technology advancements are entering a new phase.
Got it. So as far as, you know, those constraints on efficiency, and you're describing how you're getting less bang for your buck as we continue to innovate, do you see any fundamental constraints on how efficient these chips can get. I know a lot of people keep an eye on Moore's Law. As we get smaller and smaller chips, we're going to begin dealing with quantum effects that may make things a little bit trickier. So do you have an outlook on that, or how do you think about computational efficiency in that curve going forward?
I think I'm an expert in Bitcoin mining ethics. I can affirm that we are indeed seeing a slowdown in the advancement of process nodes, promoting us to adapt new transistor technologies like the gate-all-around GAA or nanosheet technologies, along with like the backside power delivery to this kind of it's not just make the circuits more small, but they change the structure of the circuit to further boost the device performance. I think for Bitcoin ASICs, we already moved into, we called it near threshold design field. And this means that even what appears to be a purely, the Bitcoin computing is it appears to a purely digital logic design, but today it approached to with like a mixed signal design for analog implementations flow. So that means I think such development we need to close collaborations with foundries and involve like the design technology co-optimization, we call the DTCO. This is a very, very complex today. So yeah, for looking ahead, performance improvements in Bitcoin mining machines, it's still on the rise for next 3 years, 5 years. We will release like more than one generations of products per year, and just mentioned every new generation will achieve over 20% performance improvements. So as for other domains like GPUs or the AI DSA accelerators, I think the potential improvements here could higher than Bitcoin mining ASICs. So it's a, it's a, from my perspective, I think we edge closer to such AGIs, artificial general intelligence. So the most significant performance boost for these DSA chips will likely from like computational architecture innovations. But for the BTC chips, I think we focus on the circuit design and DTCO with foundries. We are using different ways, but maybe we will come together some years later.
Got it. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I know we just kind of got into the very granular details of chip design, but I want to take a step back and maybe, take a look at just retail Bitcoin mining. I know you guys are well known for supplying, the most efficient means of mining Bitcoin, but you also have the Canon Nano 3, which is an at-home Bitcoin mining machine. And my understanding is that's been very popular. So I'm curious why you think that is.
Yeah, you can, I think you can see there's already Nano 3, right? That means there's Nano 1, Nano 2. There are different. The every generation is popular. From Nano 1 to Nano 2 is all popular. People loves it. But I think in the past years, there's maybe only 4 months. There's a new generation, and your small rig can barely earn zero after maybe 1 year or something. But today, you just mentioned it's some kind of slowdown, and you can make significant rewards. And also the technology is improving. So when I'm thinking about what we can do to further decentralize the system, I think small home miners is we can try it again. So we start from the 100 watts Avalon Nano, and we have plans to do a larger one, like 500 watts to 1 kilo for the home for home heating.
Yeah.
So I think this is a kind of ESG. Yes, this year to save the earth, right? You know, for I think this in US, maybe most people will use like the AC to heat up the entire house or something. This is the living style in US, but in the many other places, maybe people choose to heat the surround. It's not the entire house. To be able to save a lot of electricity. Yeah, and also electricity is expensive. So use this kind of waste heat from the miners can give you do some comprehension about your electricity cost. So we can assume. Eventually, you must use the electricity to heat to generate the heat. So maybe the power efficiency we can see it's ultimate. It's zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a zero. So, yeah, and also to the 2C market is a new era for us. We start from the Avalon Nano, and this is not the end. We have a long, huge plans for the 2C products in the near future. Yeah,
very cool. And you mentioned the use of Bitcoin miners to heat homes. And that also makes me think of, you know, what else can we heat? And you know, there's a discussion between air cooled versus immersion cooled ASICs. And I'm curious, Canon's thoughts on the competition between those two modes of Bitcoin mining, and where you see that going.
I think for the, let me see, about the immersion and air cooling. I think for the immersion one, we develop both cooling methods, like let me see. Yeah, I think the customer is king. So we offer a range of cooling technologies, include air cooling and the liquid cooling systems. The liquid cooling system include both immersion cooling and water cooling. We even provide integrated facility solutions, many different products. You can see them in our website. Personally, I believe that air cooling offers a quick and straightforward deployment with much lower cost and high energy efficiency. Yes, it's the energy efficiency for air cooling is higher. Because the liquid cooling you have a bump to it will consume about maybe 10% of the system's energy consumption. So yeah. Although it requires, but the air-cooled system requires specific environment conditions to be effective. On the other hand, our liquid cooling options have their own advantages. Like for instance, the locations with natural cooling resources, like you have a river nearby, the system can support higher deployment densities and operate with reduced noise. The air cooling system is quite noisy, right? And offer extensive overclock potential. So, and maintain the air cool, the liquid cooling system will have a lower failure rates. So, however, I think it do require higher initial investment and have a longer setup period. So I think looking ahead, we see both air cooling and liquid cooling technologies that will go together. I expect improvements in performance in both areas without one necessary replacing the other. So I think this is a balanced advancement, ensure that we continue to offer our clients the best and the most appropriate mining solutions. Yeah, so to meet their specific operational needs.
Yeah, it sounds like depending on the constraints of a particular project, you may need a quicker speed spin up time, or if you have a little bit more flexibility, immersion cooling may be an option. And now I want to talk a little bit about Canon's move into new markets. I know that you recently announced plans to begin conducting business in the Middle East. Can you just comment on that? What drove that impetus? I know anecdotally there's been a lot of interest from larger mining firms. I know Crusoe as well as Marathon have made moves into the Middle East, but can you just comment on Canon's decision to make a direct play in that region?
Before a discussion about the Middle East, we move to Middle East. I think the development of mining industry is influenced by regulatory environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think this is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the energy cost and the ESG considerations. Given that Bitcoin produced anywhere holds the same value, right? So mining is one of the few industries that it's even competitive evenly on a global scale, right? So, historically, I think Bitcoin mining has been particularly suited to developing countries where infrastructure and energy development will go first, then mining can rapidly utilize the surplus energy without any pollution in the early stages of the country's development, and can naturally phase out as the economic growth and energy price increase. This is the ecosystem for mining. Recently, it has been an interesting shift atop this economic model. Like the AI computing comes in, and many players, we will talk with multiple this kind of players, new players, they're positioning themselves for emerging the AI industry, and energy set is become a very important resource in this industry. Whether existing or newly developed, the early movers are already beginning to establish large facilities in preparation for AI computing. Mm. But in this context, Bitcoin mining can serve as an initial occupy the energy and also generate the economic benefits before the AI computing power fully comes online. This is what we have seen in the past 6 months. It's a new move. And given the redundancy requirements for AI large-scale AI computing centers, it will have maybe 25% to 30% of power redundancy for this kind of IDCs. Bitcoin mining can effectively supplement future AI centers even after their establishment. They can use the redundancy power when this part of power is really put online, they can shut down the mining system in maybe 50 seconds or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what I observed is the recent project is significant. And also, you know, about the ESG, today, many of the new project is based on green energy resources. So I think it's I think for this industry, it really makes some commitment to environment friendly practices.
Mm.
This is what I have seen. So back to the Middle East, I think this region is have plenty of energy resources, and also they are eager to invest in high-tech industries. So these countries are particularly welcoming to Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, right? So they have quickly advanced in establishing complement regulatory frameworks for mining and the crypto. I believe that the Middle East holds great promise to become a crucial digital hub at because of just the geography, it can connect Europe, Africa, and extends its influence to India in the future.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I think I do want to give you an opportunity. You mentioned ESG as being a focus of yours and low carbon Bitcoin mining, especially in the context of the Middle East. You also alluded to demand response as being one thing that Bitcoin miners can do in the context of a grid. But, you know, what would you say to somebody that has a negative outlook on Bitcoin mining as it relates to the environment? I just kind of want to give you that opportunity. I think here in the Bitcoin mining industry and in Bitcoin generally, I think we're all aware of the criticisms. But coming from your perspective, how would you respond?
I think for the, you know, for the who is seeing hold the negative opinions on the, you know, the world is running really in a complex way. It's not that simple. So the answer, yeah. So I think the question is also, indeed, complex and critically, you know, important for our industry. The mining sector has been active for over a decade, and sought out this extensive real-world experiment. Perceptions of Bitcoin mining as environmentally unfriendly are changing. At the beginning, I don't think so, but today it's changing. Today we are constantly face the challenges of balancing the environmental concerns with development. It's not only for our industry, it's for the whole world development. Firstly, as I mentioned earlier, Bitcoin mining naturally will go to the regions with low energy costs, right? I will try to explain this question, but it's really a complex question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the development stages in energy production, rather than like, usually the development stages in this low energy price region,
mm-hmm.
Their development level is lower than the areas with high energy costs. Bitcoin mining can actually help them to develop the renewable energy. This kind of industries. I have example. The regions rich in hydropower resources.
Mm-hmm.
The economic to develop a small to medium sized hydropower plants this is a good thing, right? So typically, if you invest in such kind of small to medium-sized hydro plants, it will give the payback period is about 15 to 20 years. Because much of this kind of generated power cannot be immediately consumed. So the grid will not buy 100% of your power. So if you introduce mining operations that allow these facilities to operate at a full capacity most of the time, it will reduce the payback period to about 5 to 10 years. That means the same amount of capital could develop twice as many hydro stations in the same time frame. So what do you think? I think this it's clearly a beneficial for increasing the renewable energy, right? So the same principle applies to other renewable resources like solar and wind energy. So driven purely by economic factors, maybe you can call this like the capitalism. it's a pursuit for low energy cost by Bitcoin mining industry result a high proportion for green energy and also balance between it will automatically balance between environment production, economic efficiency and the development.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, so it sounds like you see over time there's going to be this continued push
this happened over a decade. So, So for us, I think we are improving the energy efficiency of our products and exploring heat recovery solutions. We just mentioned about Nano3 is one of the two C products. I think electronic heat is a common method for heating and industrial use in many areas. Mining heat recovery products have started this year. I think in a few years, I believe people will see many very impressive products that utilize the heat from mining. Yeah, but today we can generate like near boiling water from mining, mining operations. So it's very, very useful. Yeah, especially for in US, you can use a system to generate heat to warm up the whole building. It's okay. We have this kind of applications, but not in US. Yeah, so. Yeah, let's see. I think in the future, the Bitcoin mining will, towards to increase the sustainability. Yeah, and with advancements in technology and growth on green, let's see.
Thanks for sharing that perspective. And it sounds like, over time, you're expecting a continued push towards cheaper energy sources. Oftentimes, those are going to be stranded renewables in conjunction with the heat capture and recycling when you're taking the heat off of these basic machines. And I think those two things together can be very powerful forces, both in the context of industrial processes and residential homes. And I'm very curious to see where that goes in the future. But to maybe, get a little more future oriented, I do want to get a better sense of how Canon is approaching the artificial intelligence industry. I know that you guys have your Kendrite Risk series, your AI specialized chips, and I just want to hear a little bit more about what Canon's plans are to make a foray and push further into that industry or not.
The interesting thing is, I'm not talking about the existing plans or products inside Canon. We're just talking about the whole industry.
Understood.
I have spent a lot of years in edge AI, because I think every electronics should have intelligence. in the future. I'm thinking about this in 2016s, but sometimes the technical itself development is slower than we expected. And today, I think the fundamental is a problem for the traditional AI. I will use traditional AI and the AGI to So it's too fundamental. We need to build hundreds of different models for every specific applications.
Mm.
For example, we have you make a smart lock for your customers, and you may think it's only a lock. You can use your face to open the lock. It can recognize you. It's very simple, right? But the place to install the lock is it outdoor use or indoor use? The light is different, and what is your customer is kids,
mm-hmm.
elders, different color of people. It's all lead to different. You must do fine tuning and many mm-hmm. different optimizations to your models. So this really costs a lot of time, and most of the 2C products is very cost sensitive. So this is the result is the edge AI is not it's a little bit I think it's not good not goes as good as our expected 5 years ago. But today everything is changing. You know, just that Sam Altman from OpenAI mentioned maybe 2 or 3 years later, the base model will limit it to less than 5. I think 5 is quite a small number, maybe less than 10, I think it's possible. And the business model is people pay for tokens. They just like OpenAI, that they will charge you some dollars per K tokens. This is what they are doing now. What is the difference between AI computing and Bitcoin mining? the applications is using specific hardwares. One is Bitcoin miner, and the other is the GPUs to compute a specific algorithm. One is the Bitcoin mining algorithm. One is the AI, the big models. And what is the result? One is the coins, the other is the tokens.
Mm.
So this, my feeling is it comes to my experience. Yeah, I nearly can remember how to do this kind of business. The key is to how to lower the power consumption. I mean, the power efficiency for Bitcoin mining is the first important thing, and also it will be the first important thing for AI computing.
Mm.
And the second is the cost effective. You cannot use unlimited resource to build your Bitcoin miners. The cost is very, very important. We calculate is for how many terahash you can provide per dollar, and also for AI computing, because the demand for the computing power is so large, that means you must careful about the cost, or the humanity may have no that kind of amount of resources to to build the AI computing system. Low cost means less resources, right? So I think the AI computing in the future, I mean the AGI computing for in the future, and will become very similar to Bitcoin mining today. So this is what I'm thinking about, and we are preparing for something, but capital environment. I mean the rising fund or something is really difficult today for startups, especially for making some AI related hardware, because today I think you make if you decided to design and manufacture cutting edge technology chips, it really costs billions of dollars, and also with additional difficulties. Yeah, so it's not very good timing for startups, but the business opportunity, what I've seen is it's maybe higher than 10 years ago I made Bitcoin.
David Marcus, the president of Lightspark, recently said that he believes Bitcoin is the ideal currency for artificially intelligent agents. So I'm curious your thoughts on that, as well as if you think that Bitcoin has any importance for the problem of artificial intelligence alignment, basically aligning the interests or the maximization function of AI with the interests of humanity.
Yes, thank you. This is a very interesting question, and I talking with ChatGPT 4 for this topic maybe 1 year ago. And what I'm asking the ChatGPT is, do you think you will have a language? Do you think you will have your own language if AI is getting online, can communicate with each other? The answer is a yes. And also, we're talking about what kind of currency you will use. I mean, the different AI decide to use, because after the AI have their own language and their society, and they must have currencies to exchange goods or data, you know, and also their answer is a yes. For sure. And they will have their own stock exchanges and everything. Very interesting. And I ask another very interesting question is, do you think people will have to learn AI language, AI's language? And the answer is, we think some professors will learn the AI language, but for the public, this kind of language may be too complex for humanity. Hard to learn. Mm-hmm. So back to your question is, I think today, an individual to use blockchain-based cryptocurrency is quite difficult, right? You must understand the concept, learn how to use the apps, you can use some centralized way to handle with your digital assets, but you will have risk, because you know the exchanges is the biggest risk. The centralized exchanges is the biggest risk in this industry. But you can see if AI get online in the future, and they need to, or you can let your AI to help you, they can then you can just get rid of a centralized system. They can just use on-chain functions to you know, send or receive the coins. I think for the blockchain is designed for AI. This technology is not for daily use for a human. Yeah, it's too complex for a human. But it's the easiest way for AI. And also, I think AI cannot for AI to use the traditional financing methods like banks or like, you know, the PayPal or Alipay is difficult for them. Yeah, you cannot use they cannot pass. I'm not a robot, so
as far as we know, yeah.
yeah. So yeah, I think we can see some fundamental change in the future. And also, one thing I want to mention is about Web3. Why Web3's development is, I think it's slower than many people expected, is I think the foundation of Web2 is so huge. You know, for you can use your phones to do some payment. The pay button, besides this button is about 200 people to engineers, I mean, to develop over 6 months. This is what is the workload for this example, what kind of workload is behind the Web2 system. To rewrite the entire system is so hard. Unless most of the code is has been done by AI.
Mm.
So I think the AI, when the AGI comes true, Web3 will come true in maybe a few minutes is too short, maybe a few months.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I think I want to try and land this plane after we've covered quite a few subjects. I know before we started discussing, I did hear that you are a fan of anime and cosplay. I'm wondering if there's any favorites that you have, and as well, are there any stories out there that remind you of Bitcoin or Bitcoin mining?
Yeah, I think for, you know, before you start your business, I'm a student, and and I have worked for working companies for about 3 years, and I have plenty of time. I watch animes several hours a day to consume the time. But after I start the business, then I think maybe I only can catch maybe to watch maybe one or two animes per quarter.
Mm.
Yeah, and then that's all. Today I use animes to naming our projects and the products. Yeah, so this is why this Avalon project, why our first generation. I have made some FPGA based miners that called Icaros, and also there will be other fancy names in the future. Yeah, or also for the AI products. this is a very good way to naming them. Was it the second question?
I mean, it was basically, are there any anime that remind you of Bitcoin in any way? I mean, for me, I see everything as being about Bitcoin in some way or another, but I'm curious your thoughts.
I think in many the stories in China, if you goes back to maybe 5 or 10 years ago, how to make money rapidly? Some is to buy stocks, and today is there were 100% to buy bitcoins.
Mm.
So it's very very interesting. Yeah,
got it. Well, I think the last thing I want to leave our audience with is talking about the release of the latest generation of the Avalon miner, the A15. I know that you guys will be announcing that at the Bitcoin conference in Hong Kong. You know, is there anything that you can tell us about this product?
Sure. Firstly, I just mentioned the A15 is we move to the 15 to 20 joules per terahash range. But you know, if you can buy a product, I think for if you can buy a product like only to calculate a few numbers like the price and the power efficiency and that's all, it's too easy to do the buyer's job. So for our A15 series, we put more features in the machine. Firstly, I think it's expanding global operations, like the environment. It can run, we tested from minus 20 degrees Celsius to 55 degrees Celsius, and it can run in. I think we will do some limited, like minus 20 to 50. You can just use air cooling solutions to run the machines at full power. And also, you can we will add the overclock features to the A15 air cooled model. This is the first time. You know, the overclock. I will must explain, do some explanation about the overclock, because I think especially for US customers, they love the word overclocking, because you can get extra performance for free, right? The real thing is nothing is free. Why the machines can overclock like 20% or 15%? The reason is we just designed the machines can run at that condition. This is free for our customers, but it's not free for us. Mm-hmm. But this is about how to make a product. So after the fully deployment and we check the facility environments, if it's okay, then we will provide the overclocking feature to our customers. Yeah, this is the first time, and we are preparing for it, and also with management software for the entire system, because you know, there's sometimes there are requirements from the grid to decrease your power consumption or something. So you must use automatic management system to handle this. You cannot just like, you know, put a people there to operate the switch. It's not good. I think for the A15, it's very stable. So I think for our customers, they have this may be the best. You know, it's a very, very good choice in the U.S. market.
Understood. Yeah, thank you for that information. NG, thank you so much for taking the time to chat today. Really, really nice meeting you as well. Is there anything you want to leave our audience with? Any final words?
I think that I will be in U.S. frequently, so I think we can. Maybe next time we met, we can have some new discussions and see some results, to see what is going on for the next 1-2 years. I think the next 4 years is really, really important for the entire Bitcoin industry. Not only about the miners, also the the listed company, like in I just mentioned in US. I think everyone will get into a very efficient operations in the next 4 years, or you just cannot survive. And also the next bull market is driven, you know, the last bull market is driven by the investors, like the Wall Street. And for the next bull market, I think the driving force should be the public. The ETF is its issue, which is good, and this is a very important milestone, but it's not the everything. Today you ask your friends, your parents about Bitcoin, I think still over 95% of them just don't know how to invest in Bitcoin or use the cryptos. Yeah, right. So still there's a long way to go to let the public to know and to use the cryptos in their everyday style. And we hope the AI will help us. Yeah, after the AI to use the cryptos widely, this is ultimate for blockchain and cryptocurrencies, and maybe we can see this in the next decade. Yeah,
great. Well, fantastic, Angie. Thank you very much.
Thank you.